chapter 10. We're going to have this message on when words win the battle. I got a little comment here. Let me ask you this. Can God come for your words? Or does the devil enjoy your words? In Daniel chapter 10, this is a familiar portion of scripture, but I want to start with verse 12 this morning. In Daniel 10, verse 12. Then he said to me, "Do not fear, Daniel. From the first day you set your heart to understand, to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, for I have come because of your words." Now Daniel was a man of prayer. There was a decree went out that if anyone prayed to his God, that he would be arrested, thrown in jail, and ultimately the lion's den. In Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, it says, Daniel knew that writing was signed, the decree was there, and he went home to his upper room, drew the windows open as he did before, knelt down and prayed three times a day, and prayed and gave thanks to God as his custom was. Isn't it amazing that we can have such a pattern that even our neighbors can watch and know? Three times a day he spent time in prayer. He opened the windows, prayed towards Jerusalem. I believe that we need to have a pattern also. It's okay to see people know that you go to church. There should be a pattern of righteousness there. And truly, I believe when we're praying, God's answering. This morning I'm going to deal with 10 things concerning Daniel and his words. You're taking notes. Number one, we must have a desire to hear from God. In Daniel 10, verse 2 and 3, in those days Daniel was mourning for three full weeks. He ate no food, no wine, no meat came to his mouth, nor did he anoint himself at all for 3 weeks to be fulfilled. Daniel was fasting and praying, but he was fasting and praying to hear and have God answer. I believe that if we really want to hear God, we have to desire that spiritually, to remove all other voices. Daniel was longing, he was mourning, as it were, to hear the voice of God. And Daniel fasted for victory. We also need to do this. There are times that we pray, but when we couple fasting and prayer, it unlocks those things. We're walking pure before the Lord. It, like the Bible says, that our righteousness will break forth like the noonday. I believe coupling fasting and prayer in areas helps break those things. And truthfully, if we're really serious about a move of God, it needs to be part of our normal life. Not that we broadcast it, not that we just say, "Hey, look at me, I'm fasting," but it's done in a private sense. Now, there are times others may know that you may be invited out to go somewhere or a family event or wherever. Sometimes you may have to privately say, "Hey, I'm fasting right now." But as a general rule, we don't broadcast those things. We just do it privately, in secret. And what God sees in secret, he'll reward us openly. Number two, to win the battle with words, we must not be afraid of what he might say. There are times that we're asking the Lord for some wisdom or God to move, but we really don't want the answer, or we're afraid of what God's going to say. None of us should be fearful for what God's going to say. He always speaks life. Now, correction sometimes isn't easy, but it's only for our benefit. In Daniel chapter 10, I want you to look at verse 11. Then he said to me, "O Daniel, man greatly favored, understand the words that I speak unto you and stand upright. For I have now been sent to you. And while he was speaking the word, I stood trembling." Notice that he was standing and he said, "Stand upright." It's like, position yourself. Don't be afraid in this arena. When we talk to the Lord, I believe that he wants us to be bold. Not that we're trying to tell him what to do, but we can boldly come before the throne of grace. We're children of the Most High God. What do we have to be afraid of? He bids us to come strongly to his presence. Number three, to win the battle for words, we need to grab a hold of our emotions. In Daniel chapter 10, look at verse 12. First part says, "Do not fear." Then he said to me, "Daniel, do not fear." Sometimes circumstances cause us to be dull of hearing. We can be fearful. We can be lonely or in a crisis. But when we ask the Lord, we need to be strong in that arena and not be fearful. Fear has torment. And it's amazing how fear can captivate our minds and our emotions. And if you've been on this planet any length of time, your mind can wander and go in different directions. Maybe you've had a health challenge or whatnot, that you hear something and all of a sudden the worst is thought. Well, God's always in it for our best good. I don't negate that there are real situations, but fear has never helped anyone. Fear has never placed us in a place where, like, we got better because we're all fearful. In fact, sometimes it adds another layer to it. We need to grab a hold of our emotions. When we come to God, let's be still and know He's there. That means we're calm in our demeanor, that we're approaching a holy God. And the truth is that, man, if you know He has the remedy, that should bring great comfort. We need to approach our Lord that He has the answer, that He's able to do more than we can even think about, ask, or think. That when we speak those words, we have a confidence. And sometimes it's a quiet confidence that my God's going to come through. It's nice to hear words of faith, and it inspires me. When I hear individuals talking words of faith, especially today, it's encouraging to me. Because there's so much out there today that is anti-faith, anti-God, that when you speak the victory out of your mouth, believe me, there's power there. And you're going to see here that Daniel prayed and the angel was sent because of those prayers. He came for those words. Well, like you, I want to have faith-filled words. I want God to be able to work in those words and work in those situations. When it comes to fear, doubt, unbelief, it seemed like that's the arena where the enemy operates. And believe me, he's going to look for those words and those openings. Number four, if you're taking notes, to win the battle with words, passion is a key. People pursue their passions. Daniel sought the Lord for 3 straight weeks. Notice he didn't give up. I believe personally, if it had been 4 weeks or 5 weeks, he would have still sought the Lord. Don't let a time frame dictate if God's going to move. But He's passionate. If you're passionate on the first day, believe me, you can be passionate after that. Now, we know this portion of Scripture, I'll get into this later, that the enemy withstood him. The prince of Persia stood with in like a battle going on. God hurt him the first day, but that victory came after. Just like today, God hears you when you pray. Sometimes we want it so instant, but there's a battle going on for people's hearts and minds. And much of the church really doesn't understand spiritual warfare. They talk about it, but if you're really in it, it's another level. When you're in the battle, it's another level. You realize the enemy of your soul doesn't play easy. He doesn't play for keeps in the sense of caring about you. He's out to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Number five, to win the battle with words, totally dedicate yourself to the response to what you hear. Totally dedicate yourself to the response and what you hear. For Daniel, he's praying for 3 weeks. The message is now sent. It finally gets to him. In Daniel 10, verse 12, and he said to me, "Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day you set your heart to understand, to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. I have come because of your words." Notice in this portion, you set your heart to understand. Dedicate yourself. Well, Lord, I want to hear from you, but there's a level that we need to go through. If God's going to speak, then I need to be mindful of that. That's why having a journal to jot down those things or get a confirming word is always important. And let me caution this. There are a lot of people that call themselves prophets today. Some are true, some are definitely not. But if even you receive a prophetic word from somebody, look for a confirming word in that. That you don't have to get a word from across the country or around the world to really know that God's with you. If a word does come like that, then set your heart, Lord, and confirm this word, because no scripture is of private interpretation. And the truth is that we shouldn't govern our lives just on one word, but on every word that proceeds out of God's mouth. If it's true word, God will confirm that word, because the same spirit is in one as in the other. That means there's the same spirit and like passion and faith. That's why you just don't go overseas or go on the mission field because one person said. Now, that person may be right, but you need to have that confirming word. And the truth is this. God will speak to you too. The truth is, God will speak to you and he may confirm it through somebody else. Now, if we're disobedient, sometimes he'll speak a word, get our attention. But we can trust our Heavenly Father. If I was your father and I needed to talk to you, I'd want to talk to you. I don't need to have a secondary person tell you what I'm saying. He'll speak to you. He'll confirm that word. Especially when it comes to services. There are times where an individual will not know what I'm preaching that Sunday. But the word will come through that it's in my message. To me, that shows that, hey, God's speaking this also to others. That way we can continue in that. Number six, to win the battle with words, we must posture ourselves in humility. It needs to be our portion. Look at Daniel 10, verse 12. And Daniel humbled himself before God. That's a great place to be. For 3 weeks he was praying, but he wasn't walking around prideful. He was keeping himself humble. And that humble position always brings elevation. Humble yourself before the mighty hand of God, and he will lift you up. Through that humility, you're in the right place. I always share this. The best gifts of the Spirit are on the lower shelf. And the only time you find them is when you're humble. And that place of humility allows us to receive more of what he has. Well, let's walk in that, church. There are times that we may not seem like we're prideful, but it's that prideful look. We know what that looks like. Or, I can do it myself. I don't need the Lord. Maybe you don't speak that, but you kind of operate that way. We need the Lord. The longer you're saved, it should be the more you need the Lord. That isn't a sign of weakness. That's truly a sign of strength. Many times we can do things in our own strength. We can done this. Well, I've done this many times before. Well, we always need to know that the Lord wants to strengthen us daily. Give us today our daily bread. Look at Daniel 10, verse 12. It says, you set your heart to understand and humble yourself before your God. Humble yourself before your God. If you're really fasting, when you're coupled with prayer, it really does bring a certain sense of humility. Because instantly you realize how much you like food and how much you can smell food. I always share that when I'm fasting, I can smell barbecue miles away. I can be traveling down the road and I can just, man, like radar, I can lock in on that. But if we humble ourselves, it brings us to that position. Sometimes it works two ways. Sometimes we can get a little emotional when we're fasting because we're abstaining from something. We have to watch that also that we don't teeter the other way, that you start to be more emotional during that time. Grab a hold of that. But fasting and prayer puts you in a place of humility because now you're not only trusting in the Lord for things to happen, now physically you placed yourself where, Lord, sustain me during this time. And I personally believe that a 40-day fast can only be done through the power of the Holy Ghost. I really believe that. God can do it. I've met individuals who've had that, but that's a supernatural thing that God comes upon. Number seven, to win the battle with words, realize spiritual forces may be in operation to hinder you. And in Daniel 10, verse 13, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I was left alone with that king of Persia. Notice that the spiritual battle was going on. That before the answer came, even Michael, the archangel, had to come in and help intervene. Notice from the first day that he prayed, he was heard, but that the answer was delayed. That gives you a kind of indication that even during Daniel's time, the spiritual realm is really real. Daniel had an understanding. He was being spoken to. This is what was going on. Today, more than ever, there are a lot of spiritual forces that, and I'm talking about evil ones, in operation, that the enemy comes to blind the minds of those in unbelief. He comes to hinder the gospel. Paul had to withstand him many times. Well, we also need to withstand the enemy. Not that it needs to have 21 days to get you the answer. Jesus has paved a great way. But we must understand that in the spiritual realm, there's still battles going on. The battle for souls. That's why we keep praying. Keep bringing down strongholds. Keep speaking that word. If you're saved today, man, how did God ever reach you? And if God reached you, everyone else is easy. And if you can get saved, others surely can get saved too. Daniel 10, verse 13. But the prince of Persia withstood me 21 days. Notice that that battle raged all the time. When we finally get to heaven, I think it's going to be kind of neat to see all the angelic hosts too. That we don't worship them. We don't. They've been created like we have. But they do have a stature to them. They do have a role to play. And it's going to be kind of neat to see Gabriel, Michael. I think that's going to be pretty cool. And all the other angels. It's going to be pretty fascinating to see all of God's creation. And I often wonder how many animals are already extinct before we even came onto the planet back in Adam's day. I believe that the Lord's able to preserve everything. So it's going to be really neat. It's going to be fascinating. Can you imagine the colors, the flowers, all that that's in purity? It's going to be a great day when we're finally all there. Can somebody say amen? Number 8, to win the battle with words, speak again. It's not just once to speak, but speak again. The devil would like to keep us silent. And in Daniel 10, verse 16, and suddenly, having one likeness like the Son of Man, touched my lips, then I opened my mouth and spake. We need to speak again. You prayed for something once, keep praying, keep knocking, keep answering, keep seeking. Just keep bombarding heaven there. God's heard you. But truly, by your continuation, by your heartfelt cries, the Lord will hear an answer. I know there are some things that I prayed for over 45 years now that I still haven't seen happen. But I know the Lord still heard, and he's going to answer. He's going to move. When you're overwhelmed, listen to me. Just don't shut down. Daniel was 21 days waiting. He didn't give up. Many times we give up, many times right before the victory comes. I've seen that so often when people have prayed for others to come to know Christ. And I've seen this often in service, that they prayed for their families to get saved. They finally come, and the individuals aren't even in service anymore. And what a letdown to somebody they prayed for, especially when it's a family member. I told them one day I'd come to church, and then they came, and then we're not even faithful long enough. Daniel was faithful long enough to receive what he has. We should also. Seeing the vision that he had was overwhelming. Sometimes it will be overwhelming. If you've ever met the Lord, it's an overwhelming presence. There is no doubt about it. Glimpses of heaven are overwhelming. Paul said, I can't even describe the greatness that I saw. Maybe you're facing somebody that's in an overwhelming situation. Maybe there's personal challenges. Begin to speak. Don't be silent during those times. Even if you just have to just barely get it out, or you feel like it's not even flowing, pray that. I've seen people that have been in hospitals that really couldn't speak out because of tubes or whatnot, but you can pray that internal, to speak that victory. Many times that victory comes at those words, because God said, hey, the angel was sent because of Daniel's words. That is such a powerful statement. Think about it. Is the enemy coming for your words? Maybe you're speaking doubt. Maybe you're speaking those things. But when you speak the word of God, like it says in Matthew, that the devil had to leave Jesus during the temptation, because he said, it is written. It is written. That's a powerful statement. The other day we were traveling. We had to drop off something, and we were over the Pope residence, and we saw on their window Psalm 91. I was so encouraged by that. I looked through the window and said, oh, that is so awesome. Let your neighbors know that you're a man or woman of faith. May not even understand what Psalm 91 is, but man, it's powerful knowing that there's faith in that area. That encouraged me. Number 9, if you take notes, to win the battle with words, encourage others to win. In Daniel 10, verse 19, he says, O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto you. Be strong. Yes, be strong. Notice that the angel spoke, you're greatly beloved. We all want to hear, well done and good and faithful servant. For Daniel, he heard these words spoken through an angel. Now, I personally believe that the angel knew who Daniel was. But I believe this message was coming from the throne. That speak this to Daniel. he's beginning to observe Daniel was greatly beloved in heaven. And the angel just spoke that back out. That is so awesome. And I personally believe the angel understood those things, that, hey, this guy's is important, like all of us, that I need to get this word. He's beloved. If you ever feel like you're lonely or left out or unworthy, from heaven, you're called greatly beloved. That should bring you comfort today. The angel spoke it boldly, greatly beloved. In heaven, you're greatly beloved. But we also need to encourage others in this. I believe that word alone brought encouragement to Daniel, that he could look at it and say, man, that is unbelievable, that from heaven, this is how I'm described. Amen? Good and faithful. That's how you're described. Well, I want us to be inscribed in hell also, like this. They know who we are. They're fearful of those things. And they don't want nothing to do with us. But when we live a life that's so in between or calloused or indifferent, it's kind of hard to have a powerful message. But in hell, they should know us as devil stompers. They should. They should know that we're more than victorious. They should. We need to live that out. Number 10, to win battle with words, take God's word as your word. In Daniel 10, verse 19, the second part of that verse says this, and when he spoke to me, I was strengthened. And he said this, let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. Let my Lord speak. Walk in that strength. Take God's word as your word. When you unite yourself with that word, now remember on Sunday I said we're going through a word series, that we take God's word as our word. And if it's our word and it's coming out of our mouth, then we should expect results like Jesus said. Greater things shall you do because I go to the Father. Honestly, church, are we walking in greater things than what Jesus has? I can say there are certain areas we may be touching it, and many areas we're way woefully behind. Then we need to step it up. As we begin to assemble together soon, we need to step it up in prayer, step it up in the word, and live that out. We need to speak, Lord, let my Lord speak. It strengthened us. Whenever God speaks over a congregation, speaks over an individual, there's strength. Now, I understand what's going on today in society, but I'm choosing to let God's word speak. And when God speaks, there's no fear in that. Perfect love casts out all fear. When God speaks, it changes the environment. It changes the situation. In fact, the matter is, miracles come because God speaks. When he said, let there be light, how many of those light came? How many of those at that moment it happened? Well, it also will happen. For Daniel, he waited 21 days for this victory to come, but yet he was heard on the first day. Victory will come. When God speaks, it'll all change. Well, I'm hoping that these 10 things here brought a little clarity. I apologize for not having my mic on earlier. My bad on that. I want you to enjoy this day. And remember, speak God's word because he'll come for your words. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for the great victory we have. That God, we're going to speak, Lord God, your words. That, Lord, in that we live and move and have our being. In that, Lord God, there's comfort and strength. That, Lord Jesus, I know, Lord God, that you'll answer. Now bless, Lord God, all those who hear this message today. Lord, I pray for clarity for each one. Lord, that you can build upon it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God bless you all. Have a great week. We'll see you soon.